The word this morning comes from Numbers, chapter 11, verses 4 through 6 and 10 through 16. The camp followers with them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the weeping throughout their families at all the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a wet nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give to all the people? For they come weeping to me, saying, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." Moses slams his letter of resignation on the desk and hands over the keys to the world's largest minivan. A fold-out map of the promised land falls on the ground, but he's happy to leave this family behind. "These aren't even my kids. Did I conceive them all? Did I give birth to them?" Both God and Moses are angry. Meat. Where am I going to get meat in the middle of a desert? It's one of those moments in Moses' pastoral journey when he has to pull off the road and just take a beat. We've all been there. He is spent, dried up, and running on fumes. It's called burnout. Yes, Moses is burnt out. He brings to God his own death wish, along with a few choice words. "I can't carry them alone. They're too heavy for me." Too heavy. Sometimes we have callings that are too heavy to carry. To pastor a church. To abolish slavery. To raise a child that is not your own. Anyone who has been called by Jesus to a life of faithfulness, no matter what kind of work we do, will find ourselves here with the best of intentions and all the faith in the world. We try to respond to that calling, try to mount that burden, but sometimes our legs collapse beneath the weight and we're stalled out. It would be easier just to walk away. Have you ever thought about dropping it and just walking away? Head for the beach or the mountains? Tempting, but we can't. The calling is too heavy to carry, but it's impossible to leave. Moses has never been this close to the heart of God. The whole journey has been one big lesson in trust. All through the wilderness journey, God gives Israel manna. It's the bread of heaven, sweet like honey, and for 40 years, there's always just enough. Just like God's faithfulness, his manna never fails. And I heard recently on the radio a sentence that said, "God has not forgotten the recipe for manna." But Israel trades in its trust of God for the idol of greed. Israel wants more than enough. What God has given them so far is insufficient. So they demonstrate, yelling out their demand for meat and lots of it. Moses makes the same mistakes that many of us leaders and people pleasers do. He gives in. It never occurs to Moses to say no to this greedy request. Instead, he gets himself all in a tizzy and he asks God, where is he going to get meat to feed all these people? And he throws his hands up in the air because he can't deal with it any longer. But God never asked Moses to feed the people meat. They didn't need meat in the first place. If there's blessing in the burden, there's also blessing in the burnout. It makes us stop to see just what we've been trying to carry. And while the calling might be a holy one, we try to carry God things that God doesn't ask us to carry in the first place. That steps on my toes just a little. Moses wasn't called to carry the sin of Israel's greed. Nor was he expected to deliver meat, as if the minivan left Egypt packed with 10,000 coolers of sub sandwiches and cans of soda. It's so easy to trade the call that God puts on our lives for the demands of people. They ask, and we don't know how to say no. They pile on expectations, and we spend our lives trying to live up to those expectations. It's exhausting trying to keep up with everything people want from us. And it's not what we signed up for in the first place. But somewhere along the way, we allowed others to interfere with our work. And even worse, we allow their assessments to define who we are. How do we get so bogged down by the demands and expectations of others? I wonder if we pick up the burdens other people give us because, in a way, they seem more manageable than the call of God. At the end of the day, I like to go home and be able to list exactly what I've accomplished that day. I'd love to tell you that I had this many meetings or fixed this many faucets or served this much food to this many people. People generally ask us to do things that we can accomplish, and then we can feel good about checking them off our to-do list. And they praise us for our efficiency and our effectiveness. But sometimes we have to ask ourselves, is this what God requires of me? Or is this just what the people want? Or what I want? There is danger in living for the demands and praise of people, even the people we serve. It's the danger not only of burnout, but of settling for others' entitled dreams that are insignificant and too small. Moses and Israel could only think of one thing, and that was meat for tonight. But God dreamed of a whole promised land flowing with milk and honey. The blessing in the burnout is rediscovering that dream, finding out that beneath all the extra weight they carry, there is still God's call to us, a calling divinely placed upon our lives. It's God-given, and it's going to be heavy because it's a piece of God's plan for the world. God longs for the day when every mouth is fed, when every slave is set free, and when every tear is wiped away. And you can be sure that for God, nothing short of that will do. And all of us trying to live faithfully are carrying pieces of God's plan, walking with God and each other toward the kingdom. His plan is far bigger than any plan we could think of or imagine. Sometimes years go by without seeing the fruits of our labor. I've said that for many years as a teacher. We often don't see the results of what we've done. We might see it later, 30 years down the road, when they come back and tell us what they're doing. But often we just have to trust it. Sometimes they don't even act like they're paying attention. We work for many years, all of us. We may get discouraged and we may want to pick up smaller things to work on. But remember that pleas for instant gratification, pleas for meat instead of manna, don't end well in this story about the Hebrew children's journey. Good things take time. It took Israel 40 years to enter the promised land. So when you are at your wit's end, ready to drop everything and walk away, remember what is at the bottom of it all and where it all started. For Moses, it began in Egypt, where God heard cries of a people in slavery. This wasn't a huge family reunion on vacation traveling abroad. This was a freedom journey. Moses is in the work of deliverance, not serving double quarter pounders with cheese with fries and a drink. In times of burnout, a good counselor can help you rediscover your bearings. So, where did all this begin, Moses? It began in the corner of the desert, on a strip of holy ground, when God spoke of freedom, and Moses, with lips trembling and scared, said, "Yes." Well, of course, he tried to say no. He tried to convince God that he had the wrong man for the job, that it was a load too heavy for him to carry. But here's the key. God promised to go with him. And there was something about that burning bush. It was like God. It was inexhaustible. The bush did not burn out. Moses may burn out. You and I may burn out, but God will never burn out. There is at the heart of God an energy so inexhaustible, a relentless energy and grace with strength enough to move mountains, a deep wellspring of love for this broken world. In the blaze of that burning bush, Moses met the everlasting God who does not grow weary, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And 1,000 miles later, Moses is still learning the same lesson with Israel and its manna. The lesson is that God is sufficient. God says, "My grace is sufficient for your every need." So whatever load you carry, whatever burden you bear, rest. And rest assured that you are not alone. God is here to help shoulder the load. So yoke yourself to him. Hide your life in God. Rest your weary bones in God. Is there any load Jesus hasn't already carried? Is there any sense in trying to carry the thing by yourself? No doubt Moses shrinks in the loneliness of his job, this aloneness of the call, and it nearly kills him. And this is the dilemma of many who follow Jesus along the journey. "No one understands my work," we cry. "No one else even sees the burden I carry, let alone lifts a finger to help." And that loneliness is so real. and it can extinguish you, just like a single ember taken away from a fire burns out. Sometimes even the help of God doesn't seem to have an effect. Sometimes you need a shoulder you can actually lean on. You need the load shared in baked casseroles dropped off, or someone to watch the kids, or arms to wrap around you with a perfect hug, or people simply to share the journey. God knows we need these things too. He said, "Gather 70 of the elders, bring them to the meeting tent. I will take some of the spirit that's on you and put it on them so that you will not bear the burdens all alone." That's God's response to Moses' resignation letter. 70 people to help him carry the load. God gives us people to help carry the load. We call it church. We sometimes grumble and bicker in the pews, but we pull it together as a church family to share our lives and our burdens and prayers and tears and casseroles and Holy Communion at the Lord's table. Our loads are greater than any of our lives, but so is the church, for we are surrounded also by the great communion of saints, joined in our work by all the faithful who have come before, Moses and Miriam, Paul and Silas, Mother Teresa, who worship now on a clearer shore in a brighter light. Together across the ages and places, there are thousands of us on that journey toward the great house of God, shouldering together God's plans for the world. Will you help? Do you need help? God neither leaves us nor forsakes us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, for he is working all day long for your good. Jesus has held us before, and he will hold us again. Amen.